Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend. Last week, I encouraged you all to read St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, right? And you all did, right? Well, maybe not all of you. But we're continuing to read it. We read a little excerpt tonight. That was the second reading from Paul's first. And we will keep reading this letter until Lent. So we'll just back up a little bit and look at that for a moment. And so Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's urging them not to be divided. They have obviously set up rivalries and little groups among themselves, and Paul is calling them to task on this, asking them, encouraging them to be of one mind and one mission. And what Paul is doing is no different from what Jesus did. You know, in the Gospel of John, we have a long scene of the Last Supper. And in chapter 17, Jesus begins to pray. And he prays a very long prayer, his longest prayer recorded for us in the Bible. And what is the theme of that long prayer of Jesus? What is he praying for? He is praying for his followers that they not be divided, that the world would believe in him because his followers were united. And so that's what Paul is continuing this element already in the first letter to the in the early decades of the church. I belong to Paul, I belong to Apollos, I belong to Cephas, and that's another way of saying Peter. Peter's name is also Kepha or Cepha, Cephas. All means rock. But nonetheless, so today we pray that we be united, but not a kind of false unity where we pretend that the truth doesn't matter. We have to be united in truth and be able to stand up for and explain the truth clearly. So my brothers and sisters, we pray for unity among Christians. We seek unity among all those of goodwill. Now moving to the gospel. But before I get to the gospel, I want to tell you a little story. And it's a story some of you have heard before, but it's a good story, so you'll bear with me, okay? And it's a story about one of the first sermons I ever preached when I was made a deacon. And I went and I preached to the elementary school, and I'm preaching to the elementary school. And I decided I'm going to tell them all about my life in the seminary, right? And so I tell them about the days in the seminary and how the seminary is organized and what I do and what I'm learning and this and that about the seminary and all the years I was in the seminary. And then at the end of it, as you often do when you're talking to elementary kids, you let them ask questions, okay? And so the sermon, they ask questions. And what was the very first question? What's a seminary? Exactly right. That was the first question. And I learned a lesson right there. Sometimes you have to define your terms, okay? Sometimes it's very important. We have these words of fundamental importance that we use over and over again in the church. And you know, as far as those kids were concerned that I was talking to, it was like, you know, the Peanuts cartoon. In the Peanuts cartoon, what do all the adults sound like in the Peanuts cartoon? Some of you know this, some of you don't, but let me tell you. Wah, 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 wah. That's what the kids hear. Wah, 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 wah. And that's what they were hearing, okay? But you know what? Sometimes that's what you all hear. Sometimes we're using words and we're saying things and you don't know what they mean and they just go right over your head. But when you find yourself in that place, especially in the churches, it is close to my heart to convey to you what Jesus is saying because it's important. And we have these words, just a couple of them right off the top of my head here. The covenant. When we hear me say the new and eternal covenant, when I stand at the altar and speak of the new and eternal covenant, you have to know that is a sacred agreement that brings about a new family. and that we participate in this family bond with God through the covenant. And when we hear that Jesus is our Redeemer, what does that mean? Now, if I get the ushers to pass out the paper now for the test, no. Could, you know, you're going to define what redemption is and what Redeemer means. Well, what does it mean? It means to be brought back, to be made new, to go from being a sinner to being reestablished in the family of God, to have your ransom paid for you from slavery to freedom, that Jesus redeemed us. He's our Redeemer. But tonight, what's the word? What's the word in the gospel tonight? I ask you to listen for a sentence that Jesus was going to say something to you tonight. And he doesn't just say it to these people that he's speaking to on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, but he says it to all people in all times. He says, repent. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. And so what does that mean? What is he saying to us? He is saying, be transformed. Be made new. Turn your life around. Establish for yourself new goals. Establish for yourself a new ideal. Come back to God. Give up your sinful ways. Be made pure. Be made whole. Repent. That's what he's saying. The kingdom of God is at hand. And what is the kingdom? The kingdom is where Jesus is king. And Jesus is supposed to be king in our hearts, where he's the sovereign, where he's the ruler, where he's the boss. That's where the kingdom is. And Jesus is saying, repent, return, come back to me and make me your king. That's essentially what he's saying. You know, we all want to be good at something, right? We want to be a good baseball coach. We want to be a good mother, we want to be a good cook. We want to be a good musician. We want to be a good doctor. We want to be a good, whatever it is, you pick what it is. What do you want to be good at? A good teacher. You want to be good at something. Jesus wants us to be good human beings. You ever think about that? I just want to be good. I want to be good. Repent. Return to me. Come back. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is now. So this word repent, it's full of meaning, this depth of meaning. In the Acts of the Apostles, Peter gets up to preach and he looks out at this huge crowd and he tells this huge crowd that Jesus died for them. He tells this huge crowd that they crucified the Lord of glory. He tells them that they missed him, but that's okay, that Jesus came not to condemn them, but to save them. And they all hear what Peter's saying and they respond to what Peter's saying and they have a big question for Peter. And the question that they ask Peter is, what do we have to do? And what is Peter's answer? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the salvation of your soul. And God will send the Holy Spirit unto you. It means to return to God. It means to be transformed. It means a change of mind, a change of your priorities, a change of your inner person. So let's go back to the gospel now. Let's look at it kind of a little bit line for line. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested. Now, John had a message. John the Baptist is who got arrested. And John had a message. And John was preaching his message. And what was John's message? Repent. Okay, and if it's good enough for John, and it's good enough for Jesus, and if it's good enough for Peter, then it's good enough for me, okay? So I say to you all tonight, what do I say? Repent. Repent and keep repenting. It's not like Father Mike, I repented last week. Father Mike, in 2005, right after Hurricane Katrina, I repented. No, you're not done. Keep repenting. It's an ongoing, lifelong process of this journey to God. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. So John's message was to repent. And for that, he was given the gift of being arrested. And later, he will be executed. Well, the word comes to Jesus. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. When Jesus got word of John's arrest, he was in the desert. He had just finished his temptations. Remember, he was baptized. He got tempted. John was arrested, and Jesus withdrew to Galilee. He went up to, it's almost as if, okay, it's on now. Now it's my turn. Now I'm up. John has done his mission. He's been arrested. Now it's my turn. And he goes like it's part of his mission. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He went to Nazareth, his hometown, but he didn't stay in his hometown. Then he went to Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee. And we have to ask ourselves, why did he go there? And it's a very interesting story why he went there. And we're given a little insight into the story of why did he go there in the prophecy from Isaiah. The Isaiah the prophet speaking about a time 7 centuries before Jesus. Something happened. Something happened in the year 721 BC. And what happened was this. The people of God turned away from God. God's chosen people turned their hearts away from God. And then they were conquered. And darkness entered the land. The Jews were overtaken by the Gentiles and the pagan powers. And the worship of God was put down. And they became foreigners on their own land. And the first place, it happened in many places, but what was the first place that happened? The very first place that happened was the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. That was the first place that the people of God, the light was put out and they became a people in darkness and gloom. And so when John gets arrested and Jesus says, it's on, it's time, where does he go? He goes to the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, where the prophet Isaiah said, a light will come into the darkness. And who is Jesus? He is the light coming into the darkness. And he begins his ministry. And what does he begin his ministry with? A call to repent. Come back. Come home. I'm here to gather you in. And guess what else the prophet Isaiah tells us? The prophet Isaiah talks about fishermen going out to all the world and gathering in the lost tribes. And is it an accident that the next thing that Jesus does after he says to the whole world, repent, then what does he do? He starts calling fishermen. And so this prophecy is fulfilled. There are layers to the gospel. There are layers to the Old Testament and the New and how they blend together and how beautiful it is when we recognize them, when we can see them working together. So land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way by the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the non-Jew, the people who are in darkness have seen a great light. And that is the coming of Jesus who says, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Then, come follow me. Repent and come follow me. How the world needs men and women to follow Jesus. How desperately we need men and women to give up their lives and follow Jesus, to turn over their heart, to repent, to have a new interior desire, to believe in good and evil, to desire to know what is good, to have a new life, a change of mind, a transformation of the inner person, to be united to Christians of every time and every place. How desperately we need that. And you know what? That's a work that God does in you. All you have to do is hear it. All you have to do is let the words of Jesus penetrate into your heart. Repent. Come to me. Come back to me. Be transformed. The kingdom of God is at hand. Come, follow me. We need men like Andrew. We need men like Peter, hard workers, husbands, fathers, fishermen, teachers, doctors, nurses, striving to be pure in body with a generosity of spirit, to grow in wisdom and excellence and understanding, not just to be good at something, right? But to be what? To be good. To be good. That's what it means to repent. And so you hear the call tonight. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Return. Return to Jesus, the reign of God is about to be. Change your life and enter the place that God has for you. Stop sinning and live a life of grace. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand.